The biggest moment.
One man to beat up the right sideline.
See ya,
are
baby.
99-yard touchdown run.
The biggest games.
Back-to-back state championships.
The biggest stories from area high school sports. This is Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Alongside the dean of area high school sports, Dennis Semro, here's Hunter Vaughn.
This is Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, and we are one game away from Camp Randall. It feels like, Dennis, just a few weeks ago, we were still in warm weather games. We were talking about how the heat could affect games. You know, we were thinking, oh, how has things like unlimited contact days affected the early parts of the season? And now, next week, we're going to be at Camp Randall crowning our state champions.
The first highlight wasn't Brady Coffman's 99-yard run like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't 12 week one.
12 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
We are through level three of the playoffs, what are now called the sectional championship games, but now we are on to the state semifinals, and we had a ton of teams that were still in, and more than what I feel like we've had in past years, who are still in the playoffs. So it's great to have a ton of area teams to be able to talk about this late into our season, as this is Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Zimbrick Honda's been a part of the Madison community since 1973. Their customer service is second to none, and you can experience it for yourself at two convenient Madison service locations, one on Fish Hatchery Road and the other on Grand Canyon Drive. From simple maintenance to expert repairs, Honda certified technicians handle it all. Need new tires? At Zimbrick Honda, buy three tires and get the fourth for how much, Dennis?
$1.
That's right, just $1. Shop local, shop Zimbrick Honda. So we're going to start today's show, as we always do, looking back at the area games from this past week. Plus, coming up, we will talk to both of the head coaches for the game that we will be at for the state semifinals, and as well as have our UW Credit Union Student Athlete of the Week. We'll look ahead to some of these semifinal matchups, as well as the state championship games. Plus, we had some commitments happening from around this area, not just for some football players. We saw Ethan McIntosh, the son of athletic director Chris McIntosh. He announced his commitment to the Wisconsin Badgers, a three-star offensive lineman from Verona. But we had some volleyball players, soccer players, all making their commitments today. So we're going to talk about those. Plus, we saw some state champions were crowned as well over this past week from some non-football sports. We want to make sure that we're highlighting them as well, because we don't just talk football here on Prep Mania Weekly. That's why it isn't called a football show. We don't put football in the title. We're going to talk about other sports here in high school sports. We primarily focus on football, and then we'll shift to basketball here after state football is done. But we talk about every sport.
Well, it's not the swimming show. You were a swimmer.
I was a swimmer. I could talk about swimming for an entire two-hour show. I would literally hear people logging off of YouTube and unsubscribing to our channel if I were to do that. We will talk a little bit of swimming. We've got the girls' state championships coming up here this week. Super exciting stuff there. Love that state championship.
We'll have to get it back to Madison, though.
Yeah, it would be great to have it back in Madison. Waukesha is a great facility. It's a great environment there, but it's just not quite the same as the Natatorium here in Madison. So that's everything we're going to be covering today. We've got a great show here this evening, but we're going to start, as we always have, looking back at the past week. We'll start in the Division II Level 3 games, as we saw Oshkosh North and River Falls playing each other up in River Falls, and River Falls had a 52-38 win in that level three matchup, winning the sectional. One of the other games, Rice Lake, the defending Division II champions, taking on Green Bay Notre Dame, who have made the jump up from Division III up to Division II due to performance factors, and the Tritons of Green Bay Notre Dame got a 28-20 win over the defending runners up in Division II, Rice Lake. And Dennis, you've been doing it all year.
It's my time for my Kingston Allen update, yep. Right? Well, he had 286 yards and four touchdowns last week. He needs 33 yards to get to 3,000.
That's insane.
And he hasn't played 12 games. He's only played 11.
Yeah, he didn't play a game. And what's also impressive about this is he's going to get a is he at 1,000 yards in the playoffs?
Yes.
Right now, yeah. Like, that's the ridiculous part of this, is in a playoff run, he's going to put up over 1,000 yards.
1,200 plus.
Yeah. It's incredible what he's doing. That's a team where, you know, as we'll talk about here, we'll start looking into some of these potential matchups that we could see at Camp Randall. Green Bay, Notre Dame, and seeing a running back. Last year was Christian Collins. Now this year, potentially Kingston Allen. There's just certain players where, like, gosh, I would love to be able to see them do that at Camp Randall. That Division II game, you start to get it under the lights as the sun starts to go down in the second half of that game. So it'd be great to be able to see what he could do under those bright lights at Camp Randall.
Yeah, Division II would be the 1 o'clock game on Friday.
Yep.
So around 4 o'clock, toward the end of it there. And gray skies, hey, we're going to have 50s on Friday. 54, I think, is the high.
Yep.
Now, by the time we get the game going, it's not going to be 54, but it's not going to be 20 degrees like it's been the last few days. So perfect weather. And then we don't know what to expect for next week. I don't even want to look ahead.
No, I've intentionally ignored looking any further ahead than what's going to happen this Friday.
Just be grateful.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm just like, you know what? It is what it is. We'll be inside a press box. I'm not concerned about it. Our other game in Level 3 for Division 2, as we look back at the previous games in Level 3 for Division 2, Union Grove and West Appear. And West Appear had a 42-14 win over Union Grove. They got out to a 21-0 lead at the half in that game, and it wasn't until into the third quarter when they were up 35. You had a 35-7 score after three, and then they finished it with a 42-14 final. And West Appear's Patrick Greason, I've been talking about him all year, one of my favorite players to talk about this year, the quarterback for West Appear. He just went 17-25, 263 yards and 4 touchdowns. So another great performance from a great player in Division II. There's some really, really good players left in Division II.
Yeah, Greason's thrown for 44 touchdowns this year, and he's 3 shy of 100 for his career. Think about that.
Wow. He's going to do it, I think. Last game we didn't talk about Division II is
the game we had.
Yes, Monona Grove and Homestead. Monona Grove, that's a game that I think of any of these games, that was the game where Monona Grove feels like they should have had this one. Opening drive of the game, they take it all the way down to the Homestead 1 yard line. They have back-to-back false start penalties backing them up to the 11. They can't get any closer. They end up having to settle for a field goal. They're trailing 7-3 at the half. They had a fourth down that looked like it was going to be a touchdown, but they had an illegal man downfield, so that took away a touchdown. They couldn't convert that fourth down. Nothing was going right for them. They score a touchdown late, take a 4-point lead. The ensuing kickoff, though, with 2.5 minutes left in the game, Homestead gets it out to the MG 40. They only have to go 47
yards. About a 50-yard return, yep. Which that was the crucial play right there, because that kept Homestead in system. They didn't have to worry about throwing. They could run the plays they wanted. And Lee Zortman, the quarterback, had a nice scramble around in, and then he had a nice pass to the tight end that got him to the 3. And if they think about it, if they would have had to go another 20 yards or had to put the ball in the air, things might have been different. But that was the perfect storm. And unfortunately for Monona Grove, 5 points separated them from being where they are now. A 1-point loss to Wanakee in overtime, and 23 seconds to go is when Homestead scored.
Yeah, that was just a tough game for the Monona Grove Silver Eagles as Homestead advances.
Great season for Coach.
Yep.
For Brandon Beckwith and his staff. Great staff, and those kids were prepared. And one of the best defenses I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
You've got to remember Nick Gallagher. And D'Lo Clay's coming back next year. He's only a junior. Oh,
the poor offensive lineman in the Badger Conference having to deal with D'Lo Clay for another year. As we keep going through, one of the teams from that Badger Conference, Wanakee, won 42-28 over DePier in Level 3 in Division 1. The triple option battle between Muskego and Lake Geneva Badger was a 20-13 win for Muskego. They advanced to the state semifinals. Bayport and Franklin. Bayport winning handily 42-13 over Franklin.
That was kind of a stunner. But
I thought I thought Bayport would be able to win that game, but I thought this was going to be a one possession game. Maybe you get something like a 10-point win, similar to what Arrowhead against Hamilton, where Arrowhead won 34-24. That kind of a game where it's like it's a close game. It could go either way, and maybe a couple possessions there late. I didn't expect 42-13 from Bayport against Franklin, and to mention Arrowhead taking down Hamilton 34-24, which leads us to our game of the week. If you follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, we've already posted about it, but we'll say it here if you're just tuning in to the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. We will be at the Wanakee Arrowhead game, a couple of blue bloods, some powerhouses in Wisconsin high school football. They're going to be playing at Mansfield on Friday night for a state semifinal. Two teams that have never played each other in football. They'll be taking each other on for the chance to go to Camp Randall. Dennis and I will be on the call for that game.
So no two-hour ride, no cops. Sweet.
Is that really what you care more about?
We have to go to Culver's on the west side. There's Culver's right down the street.
There is.
So we got a tradition for post-game, for road trips.
Yeah, maybe, Dennis, if you behave. But we'll be at the Arrowhead Wanakee game, and that brings us to our next segment here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. I'm Hunter Vaughn, with me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow, as we will be joined by the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, Matt Harris, will be joining us next segment. We're going to talk to him as they get ready for this state semifinal game against the Wanakee Warriors. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, Matt Harris, joining us here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
You're listening to Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, breaking down more from this week in area high school sports next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
We continue on with Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, and it's time for our first of two Midwest Financial Group coaches profiles. The lineup at Midwest Financial Group consists of coaches for your financial world, organizing the players on your personal team. Behind every great team is a great coach. Let the Midwest Financial Group be yours for your financial planning needs. Head to mfgteam.com to get started today. Advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, a registered investment advisor. And I mentioned a great coach on the read, and we're joined by a great coach, the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, Matt Harris, joins us now on Prep Mania Weekly. Matt, thanks for taking the time and joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. I'm up in our press box right after practice, so it all worked out.
Great. You know, one of the things Dennis and I, we were talking about with this game, this is the first time that you guys are going to be playing Wanakee in football. And, I mean, you guys are two of the most historic programs in high school football here in the state. What does that mean for you guys and the team to have a chance to go to state on the line and you're playing a program like Wanakee?
I mean, pretty cool. Probably cooler for the fans, but I think it's awesome for us. Like, our mantra is always like, we feel like every time we play any team, like it's their Super Bowl, you know. And I feel like Wanakee probably feels the same thing. So you have two teams that probably have like mentalities in every game they play. That they're playing an opponent who looks at them as a rival every time they play.
Coach, again, 25 state championships or appearances between the two schools. The bar's been set pretty high, so, I mean, how do the kids handle that? How do you approach that with them, that everybody expects them to win? And even if you have a close one like the Brookfield East 31-29, I'm sure some people weren't happy while they showed one by two touchdowns. How do you deal with that kind of pressure?
You know, like, I have a lot of good people around me. I think the kids are used to it. They walk into the school and they know they're expected to win no matter what they do. I think there's such a high bar set here for excellence. And sometimes it can be a curse, but for the most part, it's a gift. And our kids, they're groomed this way. And, you know, they enjoy the challenge. I mean, for me, the pressure is, I mean, it is what it is. That's why you signed the contract when I first came here. But I put a lot of great people around me that have been great supporters, even when things don't go exactly the way you want them to.
You know, in that same vein, when it comes to the expectations, you know, it is rare for high school teams to play this many playoff games, make it this deep. Is that something that you address with your guys, that this isn't something that is necessarily normal for every program? I know it is the expectation for you guys, but like, what you're doing is something special.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, we have, most of these kids probably don't remember, or were even, some weren't even alive when Arrowhead was in its dominant stages. I mean, you know, we took over 6 years ago, and you know, they hadn't seen that deep since 2015. So most of these kids don't understand that. So I do think they understand the gratitude, you know, like, of how big it really is. And but, you know, again, these kids were groomed, that all their parents, we have so many kids that parents were a part of the great Tarasca days. And, you know, so it's, they've all heard all the stories, they know all the stories, and, you know, so that they're pretty seasoned to it.
We're joined by the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, Matt Harris, here on our Midwest Financial Group Coaches Profile as a part of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Coach, because, you know, Dennis and I don't talk about you guys a ton here on our program, not being, you know, from the Madison area, who are a couple of guys that, you know, maybe fans should expect Dennis and I to be saying their names a lot on Friday night for your team?
Yeah, I mean, starting with Brennan Foley, you know, in my 20 years of coaching, I don't know that I've had a more impactful player in every facet on the field. I've been fortunate to coach some amazing players, but it just seems like no matter what happens, he's around and he's part of what happens. And so I imagine you'll announce his name a lot on defense. And then on offense, you know, there's so many weapons on offense. It's pick your poison. You know, you got two speedster wide receivers that are state track champions, and Harper Hughes and Ryan Hyman. You got a running back there, and Jacob Siner, and his boys in that room. And then our quarterback has really stepped up. You know, we lost a FBS quarterback last year, and we replaced him with a great one in Nolan Hansen.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned the speedsters, the track. You're a track coach. You're also an Marine, so thank you for your service. How does that shape you? The Marine, the expectations, and being a track coach, and speed such a big part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I've been a part of a lot of great track programs. I started out over at Brookfield East, and we won a handful of state track championships, and we focused on two things, like multi-sport kids and building fast athletes. That's always been our goal. That's kind of like what I've hung my hat on as a coach is, you know, like, maybe I don't look like it now, but I felt like I was a pretty good athlete in high school, and I wasn't great at one thing, but I just, you know, my head coach, Chuck Bova, he made great athletes, and that was kind of my model, and I just and just took that, and it worked fantastic at Brook East, and then it worked amazingly at North, and I think we're definitely doing the same things here. And those two sports marry each other so perfectly. And we have a great head coach and Chris Harriet, and, you know, we have a great relationship, and, you know, it's about competing too. It's not just who's the strongest, who's the fastest, but who are the competitors. And when you have to line up on a track meet and you're all by yourself in a lane, like, those things carry over to football, whether people realize it or not.
You know, I understand if you don't have this number just off the top of your head, but maybe a percentage. How many of the guys on your team are multi-sport athletes?
Probably 90 to 95%.
'Cause, you know,
yeah, and that's...
Oh, well, I was just going to say that's something Dennis and I talk about a ton on this program, is the multi-sport athletes and how important that is for high schoolers. You know, too, with that, we've been talking a lot this year about the unlimited contact days for football coming into this year. And I'm just curious, how did you guys balance having that available to you this year? But you've got guys, so many of them, being multi-sport athletes and also have the time that goes with those sports.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, besides those high-level state track championships, that was really the only crossover. So, like Ryan and Harper, we gave them a few weeks off. But, you know, there's so many football camps out there. There's so much stuff going on in the summer. I didn't want to not give our kids the opportunities. I wasn't like, you know, mandatory practices all summer long. But we gave our kids a lot of opportunities. And I bet you we got 10 to 12 extra practices in the summer, and I'd have a hard time not believing that it hasn't paid off. But you know what? We had freshmen there. We treated it like any old football camp that we went to when we were kids, but we made it more geared towards what we were doing here at Arrowhead. And, you know, maybe we've been together since June 1st. It's crazy. We've almost been together for 6 months, but it sure doesn't feel that way. So, you know, we'll tweak it a little bit next year, but I think we had a really good plan.
We're joined by Matt Harris, the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Something I noticed as I was going back through your schedule for your team, this year you guys played in 5 one-score games, and your team went 4-1 in those games. Unfortunately, the one loss being to Muskego 21-17 back in September. But having played in so many of those tight games, what did that teach you about your team this year?
There's no quit. Last week we were down 21-0 to start the game, and like our kids, they never get worried. It could have been 28-0. I don't think it would have matters. Our kids they're coached so well by our coaches and our coordinators that they know it's only a matter of time before we get it and we figure it out. I feel like we're really, really good at making adjustments on the fly. We've seen every defense you possibly can, and sometimes they know it takes us a little bit to get going, but if we get going early, we're in for a great night. But even when we're up, you know, they still have the same thing. They're football players, and they're kids that love football, and they'll fight to the end, and that's been awesome. It's been awesome to watch, and this senior class has been the epitome of that with our groups.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Coach, every team's got to have a point where you get kind of punched in the mouth and, wow, we got to take it to the next level. You play in what we say is the SEC of high school football in the state, arguably the best. You had Muskego already earlier, and you got McGuanago and Oconomowoc and even Pewaukee, who probably didn't belong there and gave you good games as a D3. What does that do for you now when you get to the playoffs, where you've almost played playoff football for a whole season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing. We also played Marquette and Nina and Sussex in the conference game. So, we're battle-tested, right? It's always like the scare, right? Everybody sometimes is afraid of those games just because, like, you're bound to have injuries, right? And, you know, we've withstood the injuries we've had, and, you know, we've gotten guys back from injuries through the long haul, but like you know it kind of goes back to your last question, why our kids are the way they are, is because they've been dealing with that. I don't know that anybody in a two-year span has had a harder schedule than we have had over these last 2 years. I think we've played like in 7 games where we played against the number one team in the state of Wisconsin, so it's kind of become old hat. We don't even really think about teams' ranks anymore. We get so focused on what our job is that week, and you know. But I do think it has seasoned us properly, for the run that we're on right now.
And then one last question for you. I ask this to every one of our coaches the first time they join us here on Prep Mania Weekly. But other than winners on Friday night, when fans leave Mansfield after your game, what are the 3 words that you want fans to describe the Arrowhead Warhawks as?
Just a very, very classy team. A classy team. Like, that's what I want. I know from the outside looking in, I think Arrowhead sometimes gets a bad rap, but when you really get to know the families, the parents, the kids, and I want everybody to leave and be like, that is a classy football program. Maybe that's too many words, but that, you know, it, someone that range, a classy program, is my three words.
I mean, I think maybe you went one word over, but we'll still allow it.
Yeah.
Matt, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for joining us after your practice, and good luck on Friday night as you take on Wanakee in the state semifinal.
Awesome. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you guys.
That was the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, Matt Harris, joining us here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Dennis, I'm so excited for this game. There's a reason why we posted about this game early on, because as soon as we finished up our game last Friday night, you and I, the Homestead and Monona Grove game, and I saw we were going to have Wanakee Arrowhead, instantly said, that's the game we're doing. There wasn't even a thought in our minds that this was the game we wanted to be at, and I can't wait for this game. I wish it was already Friday night.
Well, you know, he mentioned Brendan Foley. You go back to the preseason, the athletes to watch at each position. Jacob Seiner, running back, been watching him for 2 years. Harper Hughes, he mentioned he'd been out with an injury. He's back, the speedster. Tristan Seidel, who's on a mention all-conference lineman, defensive lineman. He was at Kettle Moraine last year, came over. How'd you like to have that for a transfer? Then Ethan Curley, and then Jack Tarkowski, a safety. I mean, you look, they've got a stud at almost every level of play. And when we talked off you know, on the phone the other day, it's not about the individuals. Can you bring them together? And if they're on all cylinders on Friday night, wow, that's to be the toughest team Wanakee's face this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we love these semifinal games so much, because it's rare that you go into a game and you see a team and you're like, oh, they've got a hole in that spot. Arrowhead, we can go straight through every level of their team, and they have playmakers at that level. Wanakee, we can do the same thing with that roster too. We could go onto the other side of things and do the same thing for Muskego and for Bayport. That's why these games are so good, and it's rare that you see somebody really blow another team out in this semifinal game. Well, so we're in store for a great game on Friday.
We talk about seeding, you know, an A seed getting there. By the time you get to level three, you're playing a potential state champ.
Yep.
And everybody's got that way they're there. And when I asked about the punch in the mouth, that Muskego one right there, that probably put the chip on the shoulder and said, hey, if we go to state, we might get another shot at these guys, and it'd be a conference championship. Okay, you got the title, but we got the gold ball, and that's it. And now the other thing, when I talked to the coach Graverson about this, you can't look ahead. Now you can. You can say, hey, if we win, we're getting a ball, a gold or silver. So now you can start talking about that down the road. And a team like an Arrowhead that's played so many, like coached so many number one teams and whatever, nothing will faze them. I mean, they'll go out there on Friday night. And one of the questions was, so where's the stadium? I go, Beltline, it's easy to get to, no problem. You guys should have a good trip here. And it's a brand new field and stadium. I think it's going to be a great show, and the weather's going to be awesome.
Yep.
It should be standing room only.
Yeah, it probably will be at Mansfield. You're going to want to get there early. If you can't get there early, though, we will have the game on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. We'll start our coverage at 6:30 on Friday night with the pregame. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. You can watch the game on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel for free, or you can listen to it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. There's going to be its own special dedicated tab for it, so all you have to do is open up the app, click right there on the Zimbrick Honda's presentation, a Prep Mania logo, and you'll be right there with the audio of the game. Dennis and I will be on the call for that game. We can't wait for it. It's going to be such a great game. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we are going to look back at the Divisions 3 through Division 7 games in Level 3 of the playoffs, and then a little bit later on, we will be joined by the head coach of the Wanakee Warriors, Chris Graverson, so you don't want to miss that. All of that and more here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
More of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly coming up next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
We were born to run as teams are making their run to Camp Randall here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the man, the myth, the legend, the dean of area high school sports, Dennis Sumrow. We were previously joined by the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, Matt Harris. If you missed any of Matt's interview, or maybe a little bit later on, you're in your car or you've got to step away when we have Coach Graverson on, you can listen back to them on the ESPN Wisconsin app, or they'll be right here on the ESPN Madison YouTube or Daily Dodge YouTube channels, so you can listen back or watch back any of the show there. The big thing, though, you want to hit that subscribe button. Click the subscribe button, click that little bell to get notifications. That'll tell you every time that we go live. That way then you don't miss any of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. You don't miss the jump around with Pablo Iglesias, Jim Rutledge, and Riley Yauch. You won't miss Mr. Irrelevant. That's a show I produce. You won't miss any of our content here on ESPN Madison or over on Daily Dodge and all of the great things that they do over there as well. So click that subscribe button, click that bell to get notified whenever we go live. We now look back at the Division 7 through Division 3 brackets and the results from Level 3. The teams moving on to the state semifinals. We'll start all the way down in Division 7. The 3 seed Potosi Cassville getting a victory over the 5 seed Cashton, 35-0. They will take on Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic, who also had a shutout victory of 34-0 in their game. Then on the other side of the bracket, it's a pair of 1 seeds that'll be matching up with Cochran Fountain City winning 35-14 over a 2 seed Boyceville. Boyceville was a team, Dennis, that was ranked in our ESPN Wisconsin media poll throughout a big chunk of the season. So that was a bit of a shocking win for Cochran Fountain City. I know they were the 1 seed, but a lot of our media members were high on Boyceville.
Yeah, time of year. I mean,
exactly.
Number 1 and number 2 going at it. Cochran had the number 1 seed, and you look at what they've done in the playoffs and throughout the season, you know, they're here they are 12-0. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is where you match up 11-0 teams, or
yep.
In this case it was 11-0 and a 10-0 going at it. But Cochran Fountain City, it's just they've had a great run. They had a basketball title in the winter. Now they go right into football season.
So a great run for Cochran Fountain City. The other team in Division 7 that has made it to the state semifinals from Oshkosh, Lewards Academy, the 1 seed, winning 24-14 over Hilbert. So they move on to take on Cochran Fountain City in Division 7. Moving up to Division 6, an area team, Dennis, Darlington, getting the win over another area team in Belleville, 49-21. They'll play Manitowoc Lutheran, another team that we saw for a large chunk of the season in the small school media poll. Manitowoc Lutheran winning 55-14 against Cedar Grove Belgium. On the other side, Mondovia, 2 seed, taking down the 1 seed Regis. Regis was a top 5 team all year long in the small school poll, and Mondovi getting the 35-28 win in that one. And they'll take on the 1 seed Edgar, who won 8-7 over Bondiwell. And again, I called Division 6 the Edgar Invitational because it just feels like they're the team that's going to get there for Camp Randall.
This is they moved up from 7. They won it all in 7 the last 2 years. They're going for a third straight title. And what can you say about that program? Defense is big. They've only allowed 33 points all year and 8 shutouts. So an 8-7 is, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a lot of rock fights.
They are. And all of the teams down at the Division 7, 6, 5, and even into Division 4, a lot of them run some variation of whether it's the wing tee, the wishbone, something like that, because they can find plenty of linemen in these communities. It's getting the guys that can either throw the ball or enough athletes to be able to play wide receiver as well. So a lot of them running that wishbone or wing tee offenses. We're going through the results of Divisions 3 through Division 7 from Level 3 of the playoffs here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. On to Division 5 in the top right sectional. Mayville took down 2 seed Amherst 26-21. Mayville advancing to the level for the state semifinals. They'll take on Lake Country Lutheran, who is also a one seed, who had a 34-21 win over a three seed New Glarus. They'll be playing in the state semifinal at Slinger High School. Then on the other side, a pair of two seeds playing each other. Northwestern off of a 44-16 victory over Grantsburg. Grantsburg, another team who had been in the top 10 of our media poll almost all season long. And Northwestern will take on Stratford, who shut out the one seed Tomahawk 29-0.
Yeah, they're going for their fourth straight title. Mm-hmm. I believe. I mean, Stratford. It's like Edgar. They're Stratford.
Yeah, there's just certain teams when you're at that level where you're like, okay, it's really just a matter of can they get to level four, and then at that point, you know, anything can happen in those games. But they've turned themselves into such efficient programs all the way down from their youth programs, building up to their varsity program.
They won in 6 2 years in a row, and they moved to five last year. They won that again.
Yep.
So they're going to try to win 4, 2, and 2.
Well, and then the thing is, too, if you win it then in five for them because of those state titles, I believe they'll have enough points. They'll go up to four. And then speaking of Division Four, the one seed Columbus, they took down the two seed Mosinee 38-19. They will take on two seed Little Chute, who upset the one seed Racine St. Catharines 23-12, Dennis. Racine St. Catharines, that was a team that you and I thought might be able to make a run to Camp Randall again. They won Division Four last year, basically off of the great play from Lamont Hamilton.
Yeah.
And we thought they were almost a shoe-in to get there, but Little Chute said, not so fast, and they upset Racine St. Catharines.
Yeah, Little Chute brought that flex bone attack, first-year coach, and they've been pretty astronomical.
Yard yep.
numbers. It's just they've been incredible. Their quarterback's got 17 touchdowns, 1,400 yards. I mean, that could be one of those natural running clock games between these two teams.
And then continuing on, looking back at the level three results in Division Four, two seed Baldwin Woodville upset the one seed Aquinas 27-20. Dennis, we thought there was a chance we were going to get another matchup of Columbus Aquinas as they played earlier in the year, but Aquinas falling to the two seed Baldwin Woodville. So they fall in level three, and Baldwin Woodville will take on the one seed Winneconne Wolves, who beat Freedom 35-15.
Yeah, that was I don't know if it's really a surprise in that one, but you got 2-12.
You weren't surprised Aquinas lost a playoff game, Dennis.
No, I'm looking at the Baldwell at 12-0, and
but Winneconne, it's Aquinas. 12-0.
But yeah, that was a stunner. That was,
I was going to say, you were trying to downplay that. No, that's a surprise.
No, Todd Sommerfeld, our lacrosse guy, is still probably mourning about that one.
Yeah, he is a big champion for Aquinas. He was one of them, our voters in our media poll, giving them a number one vote in our medium school poll almost all season long. We now move up to Division Three, and this was the one that got wacky on us this year. If you haven't been following along through the state playoffs, Division Three, we're going to start in that upper right-hand sectional again. The one seed in this sectional was Edgewood. Edgewood took care of business 35-7 in level one against the eight seed Rhinelander. But then they take on a four seed Reedsburg, a great running attack for Reedsburg. They run that wing T as well as anybody else in the state does. Reedsburg upset Edgewood 20-12. On the bottom part of that sectional, two seed Onalaska, they win in the first level. Great, they move on. Three seed Sauk Prairie was upset by a Classic 8 team, Pewaukee, who was a six seed, winning 31-10. Pewaukee follows it up with a 24-21 win over two seed Onalaska in level two. And then the four seed Reedsburg took down Pewaukee to advance to the state semifinals. And it continues to get wacky as eight seed Whitefish Bay continues this awesome run. They had a 28-7 win over the three seed Martin Luther to make it to level four. Whitefish Bay and Reedsburg will be playing here on the east side of Madison in their state semifinal game at Madison La Follette at Luger Stadium. So the two city stadiums in Madison hosting for level four, the state semifinals, but Whitefish Bay, an eight seed, making it to the semifinals.
And eight seeds never got the finals, so they're trying to make history.
And the thing is, with the way Whitefish Bay is playing, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it. They won in level one, 31-7 over New Berlin West, then 17-15 over a 5-seed Port Washington, now a 28-7 win over Martin Luther. They've played some really good Division III teams. They're playing some really great football. Whitefish Bay has a chance here to do the impossible and make it to Camp Randall.
Well, they've overcome some injuries, but they also play in the North Shore.
Yep.
Which is a pretty good conference.
Yes, it definitely is.
So I think that's prepared them for this run.
Rounding out the Division III Level 3 results here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, the one seed Grafton took care of business at home against the two seed Plymouth, 28-7. Grafton advancing to take on Catholic Memorial, who also had a 28-7 win over our producer Owen Dimple's alma mater and the team he played for, the Mount Horeb Barneveld Vikings. And Mount Horeb Barneveld, Dennis, they just can't get over this Catholic Memorial sized mountain at this point.
Yeah, I think they should just change the name to something else. We're not calling it Catholic Memorial, playing Memorial Catholic. I don't know.
Just whatever. Do something.
Do something to get over it, but it's going to come. I mean, they've developed a solid, very solid program over there, so I'm not surprised. Last year was the year they should have done it, and they had the fluke play at the end. So we wouldn't be talking about that now. They could have made that run, but the Level 3 has been their stumbling block here for the last few years.
Now, the good news if you're a Mount Horeb Barneveld fan is that if Catholic Memorial were to win state, I believe they would have enough points with the terminant performance factor to bump them up to Division 2. So unless Mount Horeb Barneveld sees a huge influx in students to bump their enrollment up, they wouldn't be moving up. So you wouldn't see them then as the Crusaders probably bumping up to Division II if they get a win on Friday night against Grafton.
Yeah, unfortunately. And Grafton's the team that beat them to open the season, so they were hoping. They weren't looking past, because you can't look past CMH, but if they could have, then they could have done two demons. You know, one demon, and now the second would have been Grafton. And Grafton's a team I like I think they can take Catholic Memorial.
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, I don't think any one of these state semifinal games will be complete blowouts. I would be shocked if any of them are, barring some catastrophic injuries for some of these teams. You know, we talked about with Division II, like if Patrick Greason, heaven forbid, something were to happen to him in the game and he can't finish the game, then I could maybe see something like that happening, because he's just such a heavily relied on piece of what that team does to win games. But other than that, these are going to be 1-2 score games. Maybe you get a late pick six or a scoop and a score off of somebody trying to do something to just see if they can get their offense moving, sort of a thing, to push it up to a 3-score game. But all of these games, expect them to be tight, expect them to be nail biters. A lot of them are going to come down to whoever has the ball last, like we saw last year with Muskego and McWanago in that state semifinal game.
Yeah, this is where it comes down to schemes and what you're used to playing, because if you haven't seen a particular one all year, it's tough to prep that for that in a week at this level. But everything else being even, it should be. This is where defense wins championships, and you got to have a ground game. So I don't care what you do throwing the ball. If you can run the ball and you play good defense, now I'm going to pick you to go to the finals.
Absolutely. As that is our look back at the divisions 3-7 of level 3. When we come back, we'll hear from our UW Credit Union student athlete of the week to wrap up the first hour of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Also still to come, we are going to look ahead to these semifinal matchups. I have a question for the dean here. I want him to make some decisions on some teams. Tell us who he thinks is going to have the best chance to make it to Camp Randall, as all seven divisions are to the Final Four. So we're going to put the dean to work, make him make some declarations on teams.
Get ready for the hate emails.
Well, I don't get those emails. They're going to send them to you. They're going to send them to Dennis Sumrow. Don't send them to Hunter Vaughn. I didn't make the decisions. Plus, we still are going to be joined by the head coach of the Wanakee Warriors, Chris Graverson, in hour two of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly here on ESPN Madison and Daily Dodge.
You're listening to Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, breaking down more from this week in area high school sports next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Continuing on with Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. We wrap up Hour 2 here with our UW Credit Union Student Athlete of the Week. I mean, Hour 1. I don't know why I said Hour 2. Hour 1 of Prep Mania Weekly, we wrap up with our UW Credit Union Student Athlete of the Week from Lodi High School, Alex Breinegg.
Our ESPN Madison UW Credit Union Student Athlete of the Week, Alex Breinegg from Lodi High School. Blue Devil, welcome. Yeah,
thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're on this beautiful football field, and you've had some very good memories here. What's your best memory for home games here?
Just this last year, our homecoming game was a great atmosphere, and just, you know, everyone felt like we were all here together, I guess.
So football, what do you like about football?
Being with my teammates, you know, it's always just fun having something you can do with your friends after school, and really just always being with the guys.
And now you're wearing the wrestling, getting ready for the next season, right?
Yeah.
Now, your brother was a pretty good wrestler, too.
Mm-hmm. State qualifier senior year.
And so you got an older brother, Owen. What kind of a role model was he for you? You know, big brothers sometimes beat up on little brothers, but usually they make them better. What was your case?
He's obviously made me better. That's been just the biggest thing. He's always taught me that, like, you can be undersized, but you can outwork anyone you want. You can outperform anyone you want as long as you just keep your head down and work.
Now, you were part of the team 2 years ago at the one state. What was that whole road like? And that was the perfect season, 14-0.
Yep.
And it was a senior-dominated team, but to be part of that.
Again, they always taught you that you had to work hard. They were living in the weight room, but I guess the process, like watching them go through the process of winning, it was just fun because you're glad that, you know, you saw them put the work in and then their success shine. But also, they kind of made you feel like, oh, I can do this too. You know, they were never really the class to just beat up on you. They were kind of the uplifters, like, hey, we're doing this and you can do it too.
Now you're looking at a couple of schools, La Crosse and Eau Claire, and you're a big math guy. I think about a 3.6, something like that.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite teacher?
Mr. Murray.
And he's a math teacher.
Yep.
Right. So what do you want to do with that? What are you looking at doing in college?
Probably actuarial science, something in that. That's kind of just all I've looked at, I guess.
Thinking about doing a sport in college, or maybe just intramurals, or...
I've talked to a few coaches. I talked to Eau Claire, some of their football guys. I've talked to a wrestling guy from Eau Claire. But besides that, yeah, I've just kind of been going with the flow, and I'll see what happens.
So when you look back in your time at Lodi, what's going to stand out the most for you? What do you remember most?
Absolutely the community. I mean, you know, especially being quarterback this year, it seems like everyone is always cheering you on, and just everyone's there for you, like I said. You know, everyone's worried about you, and they're always supporting you, and I think that's just the biggest takeaway from Lodi.
Well, I hope you have a good senior year. This is Alex Breinegg from Lodi High School, our ESPN Madison UW Credit Union Student Athlete of the Week. Have a great rest of your senior year.
You too. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Again, that was our UW Credit Union Student Athlete of the Week, Alex Breinegg from Lodi. You can watch that full interview on our Facebook page at ESPN Madison. We've got Hour 2 of Prep Mania Weekly coming up, as I'll ask the dean to make some decisions about some of the teams and say which teams he thinks has the best chance of making it to state, as we're on to the state semifinals, or the final four teams in all seven divisions. Plus, we'll hear from the Wanakee head football coach Chris Graverson as he gets his team ready to take on the Arrowhead Warhawks in the state semifinals. That's coming up next on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
The biggest moment.
One man to beat up the right sideline.
See ya, are baby.
99 yard touchdown run.
The biggest games.
Back-to-back state championships.
The biggest stories from area high school sports. This is Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Alongside the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Simro, here's Hunter Vaughn.
Hour two of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly begins. I am Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Simro. Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly is presented by Zimbrick Honda, and they've been a proud part of the Madison community since 1973. They're your one-stop shop for over 250 new Hondas to choose from. Whether you're looking for a sedan, SUV, or truck, their selection of new vehicles is second to none. Browse their car selection online at ZimbrickHonda.com. Shop local, shop Zimbrick Honda. Teased it going into the break. I'm going to make the Dean, Dennis Simro, make some declarations on all seven of the final four that we have left in the football playoffs. Dennis, are you ready to go through all of these?
Yes, I have my picks from before the playoffs.
Okay, so are your picks still the teams that you think, because I want to know who you think has the best chance of the four
right
to raise a gold ball.
Some will be there, some will be different.
Okay. Do you want to start with Division 7
yes.
and work our way
yep,
backwards?
Yep.
Okay. That's what we will do. We begin down in Division 7. Our final four teams in Division 7, Cochrane Fountain City, Lourdes Academy, Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic, and Potosi Cassville.
First of all, I picked St. Joe's to win it all. They've probably played the toughest schedule in Division 7. They've won their three games 55-6. 41-7 and 34-0. I think they're going to win their matchup with Potosi Cassville, even though their one loss was Blackhawk Warren. They never got a chance to get revenge, but I think Kenosha St. Joe's is too much for them. And then Cochrane Fountain City and Lourdes. Cochrane Fountain City, I actually had Lourdes and Boyceville, but I think now because of Cochrane Fountain City, I'm going to pick them to win that one.
Well, but then I want to know who you think has the best chance to raise the gold ball.
Now, that is Kenosha St. Joe.
Okay. That's what we'll do for
I'm
all of these.
With,
I'll
okay,
give you the
I'm
final
that one.
The four teams that are left. You tell me who's going to, you think, will raise the gold ball.
Okay.
We move up to Division 6. The final four teams left in Division 6. Mondovi, Darlington, Edgar, Manitowoc, Lutheran.
Do we have to ask?
Yeah, I'm doing it for all seven of them, Dennis. Who do you think will raise the gold ball?
Until it's taken away from them, it's got to be Edgar. I think it's I have an Edgar-Darlington final, but I think Edgar's too much. The Redbirds, I'll tell you, they keep getting – they haven't been won a state title since 95, but they've had seven state finals appearances. You think eventually, but I think Edgar's just too much. That defense, 33 points all year, and that was the team I picked before, and I still stick with them.
As we continue on with Dennis's picks of the final four teams that he thinks has the best chance to raise a gold ball, or as we have on the video stream here, Dennis's declarations.
It comes to this one, and
on Division 5, the final four teams, Northwestern, Mayville, Lake Country Lutheran, and Stratford. I got to remind the people who's left.
Are.
So of those four, who do you like?
It's Stratford, Mayford in the finals. I stick with that, and Stratford coming with another title.
Interesting.
I like just the way Stratford plays. Northwestern could upset them, but I'm going to stick with Stratford.
See, I thought you were going to go with Mayville. I feel like they're playing really good, complete football right now. I thought that was going to be your pick of the four that are left.
No, I think teams that have been there before and just too many times. And you got a senior class. They don't want to be the one that doesn't go home with a gold ball.
Yep.
And all the classes before him did, so, yeah.
As we continue on with Dennis's declarations for the final four teams in each division, we're on to Division 4. We have a one-seed Columbus Cardinals, the two-seed Little Chute, another one-seed Winneconne, and another two-seed Baldwin-Woodville.
Well, I lost Aquinas, and I lost St. Kate's.
Ooh.
That was my finals. I'm going go Cardinals. I'm going Columbus. I think they're ready. Second title in 3 years. First one for Coach Ryan. And I had a chance to talk to Pat Rice, the Wanakee coach, told me some really good things about the Cardinals. And I'm gonna pick that one.
Interesting. You see, you got a little insider. Well, not really insider information, but other than you, probably one of the most knowledgeable people when it comes to high school football in the state, the legendary Pat Rice.
I miss my phone calls with him now. Coach Graverson with Wanakee has kind of taken that up. But, yeah, Pat called me back yesterday and left a couple messages. He was at the Packer game on Monday. So he waited and called me yesterday. We were chatting football for an hour. It was awesome. And he's doing a lot of consulting work around the state.
Yeah.
And, of course, his brother Scott is a coach at Catholic Memorial.
Okay.
Which is coming up.
Yep, that is coming up, and that is actually coming up next is Catholic Memorial, one of the four teams left in Division III. We've got Catholic Memorial, Grafton, both one seeds. Then the right side was where things got funky. A four seed Reedsburg and an eight seed Whitefish Bay.
I kind of want to pick Reedsburg because they run the ball and they've played so well and they're hot. And I think Whitefish Bay, the Cinderella, the ball is going to end here on Friday night. But I came into the season picking Catholic Memorial, CMH, and I think they're going to have a tough battle with Grafton. But they're going to pull that one out, maybe a one-point win, and I think they'll hoist another gold ball and get them boosted up to Division II for maybe for next year.
Yes, for the
medal. For Mount Horeb-Barneveld.
Yeah, Mount Horeb-Barneveld at this point might hold a parade for Catholic Memorial if they win a state title and get performance factored up to Division II. That's how happy the Vikings fans will be if that happens. We continue on with Dennis's declarations. The final four teams in each division, which team he thinks has the best chance to raise a gold ball. Division two, I think this gets Division two and Division one, I think, are the two most difficult divisions to pick a team that can. Left in Division two, all four one seeds: River Falls, West Appear, Homestead, Green Bay, Notre Dame.
Oh man, this is where, besides the game we're doing, I'd like to be at both of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in picking Notre Dame over West Appear. I think Homestead can take West Appear. After watching last week, I think if they can grind it out, it'll be interesting because they're a team that if they get behind by a couple, it's going to be tough with that pass. But if they can set the tone early, and I think they can. But I came in with a firm believer in Notre Dame, and the way Kingston Allen has been playing, I want to see him at state, and I want to see him hoisting a gold ball. So I'm still going to pick Notre Dame.
See, I understand what you're saying about Homestead, and I do think that they are a very, very good football team, and I was very impressed with them. I just don't know if that defense is used to being spread out and attacked the way that West Appear does. I think that they're used to some teams playing a spread against them, but I don't think any of the teams that they have played this year have necessarily done the things that West Appear is going to do from a passing game situation. And like we've been talking about, we expect good weather across the state on Friday night. So it might be my bias because I'm a big fan of Patrick Greason as a quarterback, but I think it's West Appear.
Well, I think the scheme that Homestead has is more difficult to prepare for. And I think that's going to cause West Appear some more problems. And again, if Homestead can get the ball in their favor, they can grind it out for long periods. Mm-hmm. And then they can throw for 30, 40, 50-yard pass plays. That was one of the keys last week of the game was don't fall asleep, because if you do, too many guys in the box are going to get you. And I just, after talking to the coach last week, I was really impressed with Homestead.
Dennis's
pick. So I think
that
could be
okay,
but I'm going to stick with Notre Dame.
And then finally, Division One. We have 3 1 seeds and a 3 seed remaining: the Wanakee Warriors, the Arrowhead Warhawks, the Muskego Warriors, and the Bayport Pirates. Bayport being the lone 3 seed with 3 1 seeds.
Oh boy, this one I think you got a quarter. I'm going to flip a coin in Wanakee and Arrowhead.
You think
I think it's going to be that.
Really?
I think Wanakee. Now, Arrowhead's got, I think, more explosive play potential. And Wanakee's just had a couple of injuries they got to deal with. But I came in picking Arrowhead over Muskego. And it's that offense the Muskego runs.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, they took care of Badger last week. And it's a rematch with Bayport from last year. They want revenge for that one. Those guys have a chip on their shoulder. I think it's, I picked Arrowhead before, but leaning toward it, I got a feeling it's going to be Muskego.
See, that's...
I picked Arrowhead beforehand, but I haven't seen Arrowhead play. Yeah, we're going to see him. This could change after this game on. You know, I might go back to, well, I did have Arrowhead over. Maybe I should go back. I don't know. This is one that's really tough because we don't. I've seen Wanakee a few times,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't seen the Muskego games or Bayport. I followed, you know, newspaper, but it's a different thing. We've had too much film.
Yep.
This is the week I start looking at the film for the finals because we'll be mm-hmm. calling those games.
Yeah, see, I'm interested that you leaned more towards that Wanakee Arrowhead. I thought for sure you were going to be like, it's whoever wins Muskego Bayport. It's the rematch of the state championship game from a year ago, hands down. I thought you would have an easier time picking between these teams than what you did, just given the fact that you have two teams on one side who just played in the Division I state championship game a year before. I still think that Muskego is the favorite. Until somebody proves me wrong, they won by 7 points against Lake Geneva Badger, but the way they're rolling through teams, I mean, Racine Case was a really good team, and in level two, they handily took them down 34-6. I just think Muskego is playing way too good of football, and that the offense they run with that wishbone offense, it's just way too easy to suddenly get explosive running plays.
Yeah, that is something so difficult to prepare for. Arrowhead's seen it this year because they played each other, mm-hmm. and they've seen it every year. It's a little different. Wanakee hasn't. They had a problem with Badger 2 years ago, so coming in.
But they did see it from Chippewa Falls in level one.
Yeah, and really struggle with it, but they've at least seen it here in recent.
So now they have film of how their guys respond to it. So that'll be the interesting thing, too, to talk about is if Muskego can get revenge for last year's championship game on Bayport, does that help, then, the fact that Wanakee and Arrowhead have either seen a team play and played against a team that runs a similar offense, or, like Arrowhead, they've played against it. They only lost to them by 4. They've seen this. It is nothing new for them. The only thing that's different is now the field's got a motion W at midfield instead of their Arrowhead A or the Muskego M on it.
Yeah, what makes this difficult, too, is these are all blue bloods that have been to state.
Yes.
And it's not this somebody's turn. Well, boy, they haven't been there for a while. They got to get there, and then we'll see what happens. Wanakee hasn't been there in Division One yet, but they've got that tradition. Arrowhead has been there since 2015, but they've still got the tradition, and they play in a tough conference. So I think you could throw all these four in, and on any given day, one of the different four could end up coming away with a gold ball.
This final four really reminds me of the year when we saw all of those blue bloods in it, where you had Kansas and Villanova, you had Duke and North Carolina playing each other. This feels like you've got Wanakee and Arrowhead playing each other. That's kind of the that Villanova-Kansas game. Two teams that don't really play each other a whole lot, but they're blue bloods. They're traditional teams when it comes to high school football. And then on the other side, you have the matchup of, at this point, kind of two rivals because they played each other in the state championship game the year before with Muskego and Bayport, and that's kind of the Duke-North Carolina game of this Final Four. I'm so excited for this level. If you guys can't tell, I love the state semifinal week.
The other thing to add to it is I have the bias of Wanakee. I've seen them over the years, mm-hmm. knowing what this program can do and the potential. And you got to believe all those other championship guys from those teams are there, and the coaching staff is pretty much intact when Pat was there. They know how to win. And but that Chippewa Falls game was huge for them to get kind of punched. So that might be the one that would vault them. If they end up finishing with a 14-0 season, I'm going to go back to that game. That and the surviving the Monona Grove game in overtime. Because you can realize they played two overtime games.
Yeah, this team knows how to win in close games. And we're going to actually hear more about the Wanakee Warriors as we'll be joined by their head coach, Chris Graverson, next here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Breaking down more from this week in area high school sports next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly continues on. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. It's now time for our second of the Midwest Financial Group coaches profiles. And remember, the lineup at Midwest Financial Group consists of coaches for your financial world, organizing the players on your personal team. Behind every great team is a great coach. Let the Midwest Financial Group be yours for your financial planning needs. Head to mfgteam.com to get started today. Advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, a registered investment advisor. We're now joined by the head coach of the Wanakee Warriors, Chris Graverson. Chris, thank you for taking the time and joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, I wanted to start with this because, you know, your program at Wanakee, you guys have gone deep into the playoffs regularly here. Do you say anything to your players about how special this is? Because, you know, it isn't normal for programs to regularly play level three, level four, go to Camp Randall.
Yeah, I mean, we try to have them acknowledge the but keeping in mind that we're playing another game and we've got a job to do, and it's kind of finding that balance of recognizing the special nature of the situation while trying to keep things in perspective, that it's just it's another game. And it's the same things that we talk about every week, that we're going to do our job every play. We're going to do our job one play at a time. Forget the last one. Don't be thinking about the next one. All those things are how we try to scope it for our kids.
You talk about the legacy of programs. Now, these are two blue blood programs. I look back, Arrowhead's been to state finals 13 times and won 6 titles. Wanakee's been there 12 times and won 7 titles. You guys have never played each other. I talked to Coach Rice about that. Well, again, a lot of your titles were in 2 and 3, and they've been primarily in Division 1. So it was inevitable you guys were going to meet. What, kind of excited about, again, the big dogs getting to play the big dogs?
Yeah, it's always exciting to play someone new. There's probably quite a bit of excitement around the state just because of the names. But for us, we're trying to just focus on it as another game with a really good team. And they are going to pose some challenges to us, and we're going to have to play a good game, a clean game, smart football. But I was talking to you, Dennis, earlier, and it's a lot of the same thing. You ask for the keys of the game, making sure we protect the ball. It's making sure we don't give up big plays, and it's making sure that we do really well on special teams. And I would assume that the similar message is being told over in Arrowhead. And I think that's probably a common message amongst a bunch of good teams. And I think that's really, probably how they're here, and it's certainly how we believe that we've gotten here, is just playing really sound football. So, yeah, I'm sure there's excitement statewide with the name recognition. But we're trying to keep our minds focused on just playing them one play at a time.
We're joined by the head coach of the Wanakee Warriors, Chris Graverson. Chris, as you guys get deeper into the postseason here, do your practices, do they lighten up in intensity? Do you change anything with that, given, you know, these guys have played, you know, now 11 weeks here? Or do you just try to keep routine as normal and as the same as you possibly can?
Yeah, I'd say we start kind of backing off on the length of practice, around week 7-ish. Just because, you know, you talk about starting in, the end of July with your camp days, and then you have the week off. It's taking its toll on the bodies of the kids, and we just need to keep in mind that there's a rest and recovery. So, again, it's striking a balance of getting enough reps that the kids are going to be prepared while not overdoing it, letting them heal. It was a physical game last week. The week before was a physical game. The week before that against Chippewa Falls was a physical game. And I anticipate this will be a physical game as well. And so finding that balance of getting the guys ready while allowing them time for recovery is kind of paramount this time of year.
Now, maybe it's not quite the same as bowl games, but kind of is for the younger guys. You're bringing up sophomores. Guys get to see the speed of the game on the sidelines and get to being part of the practice. How invaluable has that been over the years?
Oh, it's huge. And I think one of the things that you know, it's great for the kids to see the varsity level preparation, varsity level practices. But one of the things I think, for, you know, from a coach's perspective, we don't get to coach those guys if they're on the JV team all year. Our interactions with them are somewhat limited, and now we get an opportunity to work with the kids and kind of see where strengths are. And when we're having conversations in the off season about, you know, what pieces fit where and what our needs are, we have a different lens of it. If you have a chance with the guys for a few weeks here in the off in the postseason. So.
One of the guys that we've talked a lot about, Dennis and I have, is McCoy Smith. For your team, playing defensive end, but now all of a sudden here in the postseason, he's been coming in more on offense. He's got 5 touchdowns here. What was it that made you say, you know, hey, this is now where we gotta, you know, maybe use him more on offense as you've gotten here late in the season?
Yeah, and we've a new thing for us. We've been working him at running back pretty much since we got going. For us, it was, he's a special explosive athlete. He's got a unique combination of speed, power, and physicality that you don't find a lot. And, you know, when we were talking about him in the prep profile, Dennis, earlier in the year, I think I mentioned to you, you know, he could be a standout at a lot of positions on our team. He could be an old lineman. He was a great old lineman when he was younger. You know, he can fit it with that type of athleticism. You can play at a lot of different spots. And so our thing was just kind of, let's use it as a tool, our toolbox. Let's make sure that we know what it's good for. But you know, I equated it back to like a plumber. You're going to ask a plumber, are you going to use your blowtorch this week? It's like, yeah, probably if I have a situation that requires a blowtorch or whatever. It's for us, McCoy is a special athlete. He's a special kid. But from a football scheme perspective, it's a little bit of, well, what does he provide to our team? What does this tool set provide to us? And how do we utilize that in a manner that, you know, doesn't detract necessarily from his production on defense, but gives us something different on offense? And so that's really been the thing with McCoy is where we need him. It could be based on, you know, a game situation. It could be based on something that the defense is giving us, a personnel set or something that, you know, that you want to take advantage of. But like I said, it's a tool in our toolbox, and we kind of see it as if that situation where that specific tool is needed, we're going to use it. And if it's not, we'll use the other tools that we have in our toolbox. And we've got great kids at a lot of different positions. A lot of really skilled athletes. It just turns out sometimes that's a spark, and it has been a spark, fortunately for us here in the playoffs.
Well, and today's signing day, and I know he's got a preferred walk-on from Wisconsin. And how tough was it trying to tell coaches, I got this guy. You really got to look at him, because if you look at guys that have been Badgers over the years, Leo Musso, I'll use that example from Wanakee, that they just need an opportunity. These are guys that are football players. You know, we've seen it with the Catalano now and Aposa with Wisconsin. Here's another Wisconsin guy that wants to be a Badger and really can impact a program.
Yeah, it was as the colleges are coming through last year, that conversation was had quite a bit of, you guys are going to look at his height or what numbers you decide to look at and try to rule him out. But whichever one of you, and I'm sure coaches across the state have special players that they try to push. And I said, I know I probably sound just like any coach that's trying to advocate for their kids, which I am. This kid's different. And whichever one of you listens and gives him a shot, you are going to be happy that you gave him a shot. And the Wisconsin coaches said, yeah, let's get him to camp and see what he can do. And you know, they were on campus and came through and saw him, and he went to camp and impressed them like we kind of thought he would. So it's cool that it's in our backyard, that, you know, the Wisconsin guys are willing to, you know, maybe take a look, even though there was numbers that in their mind should have quote unquote ruled him out. It's cool that it was Wisconsin. because he loves the Badgers. He loves football. I just see great things for him when he gets to Madison.
One last one that I have for you. When it comes to your team, you know, you joined Dennis and I on the coaches roundtable just at the beginning of the football season, and now we're here towards the tail end. And I wanted to know, what have you learned about this year's Wanakee team that maybe surprised you or you didn't expect to learn here at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, specifically this senior group has a feeling that, you know, in different regards they have been. And, you know, I look at things like the all-region thing, maybe feeling like they get a little bit overlooked, that, you know, there's better things to look at for, you know, people who are trying to rank us and rank our kids and whatnot in the area. And so I think there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder from this group, which I thought was there, but what it manifests itself as with this group in games is they have a really unique ability to not flinch. You know, they'll stare, being down at halftime, they'll stare it right in the eye, and it's not, they weren't fazed by it against Chippewa Falls or when we were in a close one against Milton at the end of the year. They've been unshakable with situations, and that's a really great quality for a team to have, specifically when you get to this time of the year.
Well, Coach, thank you so much, and good luck against Arrowhead on Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Thanks for all your coverage of high school sports throughout the year.
Of course, we love covering you guys. And again, good luck here against the Arrowhead Warhawks. That was the head coach of the Wanakee Warriors, Chris Graverson, joining us as a part of our Midwest Financial Group coaches profiles. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about some of the other games going on across the state for the state semifinals as we're 1 week away from Camp Randall here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
More of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly coming up next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Thank you again to the head coach of the Wanakee Warriors, Chris Graverson, for joining the Dean and I here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, as well as the head coach of the Arrowhead Warhawks, Matt Harris, who joined us back in hour one. Again, if you missed either of those interviews, you can get them back on the ESPN Wisconsin app or wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch it back right here on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. But you got to hit that subscribe button, push the little bell for notifications. That way then you don't miss any of our content anytime we go live. And hit that like button too. That tells us that you like the content we're doing, so then you want more of our high school sports coverage here on the ESPN Madison or even the Daily Dodge YouTube accounts. Dennis, normally, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is a very heavy high school football program here through state, but today was a big day for high school athletes across the state as we had athletes making their commitments to schools, and we saw a ton of area athletes make their commitments. I mentioned one of them being from Verona, Ethan McIntosh, son of the Badgers athletic director Chris McIntosh, but Ethan made his verbal commitment for football to UW to play at his dad's school.
Now, those are commitments. Now, for football Division I and II, you have a signing period from December 3rd through 5th.
Yep.
And then February 4th, for the longest time, that was it, that first week of February, that Wednesday, was like gold. That was Christmas, delayed by about 6 weeks. But today is the initial signing day. They call it the universal go date. Mm-hmm. And the sports today that can sign national letters of intent, this is Division One and Two because three don't offer scholarships, but we still announce when they're going to go to the school because they're making a commitment. Soccer, volleyball, baseball, tennis, golf, lacrosse, softball, track and cross country, wrestling, swimming, gymnastics. They can all sign letters today. Now, some kids have made commitments over, it's like, take a look, I was looking. Sam Wolf committed last year from Middleton to go to Indiana to swim.
Mm-hmm.
And Elise Block from Oregon girls swimming Alabama. I mean, those are ones that we know they'd made commitments. Whether yep. they've signed it or not, when I worked for the Cap Times and the State Journal, today was a very big day because we'd have all the coaches and ADs calling in. But that's kind of gone by the wayside because more kids are announcing and doing things on social media.
Or like Chris Davis Jr. did
when he
making
came in the
that
studio.
Here on our show, yeah.
And talking to Tim Richardson at Madison Memorial today and Corvan over at Madison West. They're going to do a big signing day in the spring
mm-hmm.
because this is where, you know, like for football, okay, February, but you have basketball from today through the 19th, Division I and II basketball can sign. But then April 15th is when it comes, and now you're going to have that late signing period. Mm-hmm. And there's something on here that was cool. It's like coaches may delay budgets and whatever, so why today is important. You want to get yeah. on there really early. But they made comments about, wow, the transfer portal.
mm-hmm.
it's all a different game right now. But we've got a number of kids that committed now for football. Everything we've got is the verbal.
Yep.
And we had a flip. Madison Memorial, for example. Beckett Schreiber committed to Washington State. Minnesota flipped him. So
yep.
he's committed to Minnesota, but he hasn't signed that paper yet.
So
but
there's still time for Luke Fickell, Chris McIntosh. Down Regent Street, make that right-hand turn, go to Vell Phillips Memorial, go flip Beckett. He's a great tackle.
I'm not fired up about it at all. They just flipped a running back. So
Wisconsin. Yes, they did. See, yeah. they're in the flipping mood right now.
Yeah, right, they are. But Madison Memorial, that was the first one that gave me something. We have Braden Banyai going to Milwaukee to play baseball. The one we really were interested in was Caleb Ligon and Ezra, the twins over at Madison Memorial.
Yep.
They're going to go play baseball at, all right, Owen, our man, Bradley
Owen
University.
Dimple, I was going to have Owen make the announcement as he's even wearing his Bradley hoodie. for those that don't know, Owen Dimple, one of the three Bradley alums that we have at this ESPN Madison station, along with Pablo Iglesias and Jesse Nelson. We've got a pipeline to Bradley, so I don't know what's going on with that.
Happy. But the question was, are they going to play basketball?
Yep.
They're going to play basketball. That's awesome. But they are very good baseball players.
Well, that's huge if you're a Vell Phillips Memorial fan, because those two, with what we expect from this basketball team, and you have such a great coach in Steve Collins coaching them, that Vell Phillips Memorial team, I know we're talking football, but we've already started to have some conversations about the basketball season. Expect awesome things from that Vell Phillips squad. And Steve Collins, by the way, 8 wins away from 500 career wins. More on that a little bit later on, but Dennis and I might be making a few trips over to Memorial here early in the season to try and catch them on that number 500. Steve will be annoyed with us that we keep going and making it a big deal, because that's just how he is. But it is a big deal, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Memorial, though, they had a number of athletes.
Avery Blue, Wagner University for basketball, Lincoln Myers, Stanford for boys volleyball.
Which, I mean, that for those that don't know, when it comes to boys volleyball, Stanford is that would be like
the
if he was
standard.
A football player, he's committing to Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State. That Stanford is such a good program.
But one of my favorites was our profiles here. You're mm-hmm. creating your profiles. Okay, these girls are all teammates, you mm-hmm. know, in club. Hannah Milsna from Memorial is going to South Dakota State. Sari Marks from Sun Prairie West is going to UW Green Bay.
And these are all volleyball.
All volleyball. And a profile coming up, Mallory Hartwig is going to Jackrabbit, South Dakota State. And interestingly enough, her sister is there right now. But she went through the portal. Following her sister? No, she committed last year. Big sister's following her over there. That's cool. And then we have one more from McFarland. Kayla Landerud is going to UW-Milwaukee for volleyball. All four, it's pretty cool. They're all friends. They played in club. And they're all going to play college volleyball. And the relationships, again, which makes high school sports so special. But, you know, we mentioned the Schreiber for Minnesota verbal commit for that.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the friendship with these volleyball players. That's one of the interesting things. Along with hosting this program, I also produce the Badger Volleyball Radio Network broadcast. And John, regularly during the pregame talking to him, you can see the players from the different schools because they played club volleyball together. And then they're like seeing each other for maybe the first time in the year because they're freshmen, or they've known each other because they've played against each other, but they were in club in high school and youth together. So that's one of those where they'll end up playing each other at some point, and it'll always be a fun thing. So yeah, that's just some of the signings that we have in the football verbal commits.
The big one now, McCoy Smith, Wanakee, we talked about. Yep. He's committed to Wisconsin for football. We just had another profile around last week. Annika Curran from Verona is going to swim at the University of Wisconsin. And then again, Ethan McIntosh is committed for Wisconsin for football. And then Sauk Prairie had a signing day today. Mallory Hartwig going to South Dakota State for volleyball. Elena Kramer, volleyball, Illinois State. And Ella Logterman, Division III volleyball at Platteville. They just won the Division II state title. And then a baseball player, Marty Hanna, is going to go to a junior college, Rock Valley College. So they were one of the few that had an actual signing day today, but a lot of them are going to be doing it in the spring where they have it together. And Tim Richardson said they might have like 30 athletes, which has got to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about going out to some of these.
Yeah, we've been having some conversations. Stay tuned to our ESPN Madison Twitter account, Facebook, Instagram. That's where you can stay up to date on all of those things I mentioned at the beginning of this segment. We did have Chris Davis Jr., who committed to the College of Charleston back last spring. So that is something that we have been doing. So we might have some more of that here coming up this spring.
The other one, Madison West sent us. These are Division I athletes. Was it Mia Ozan, University of Missouri, Kansas for soccer? Gabby Ratana for Marquette girls soccer. Lily Smith, Temple for volleyball. And Beatrice McLeese, I believe, Temple for rowing. And that's a big one.
Yep.
I mean, we got a lot of great athletes that come to Wisconsin that end up in the crew program. But so those all D1 athletes, I think. Also, Gavin Meyer, D1, Minnesota verbal commit from Janesville Parker. And then a couple of guys going to be teammates. Isaac Ziegler from going to St. Thomas from DeForest, along with Hayden Anderson from Mount Horeb. And we've talked about during the year covering that team. Brooks Hendrickson, quarterback in North Dakota, and Jack Wilson, North Dakota State for football.
Yeah, again, a ton of
those are just the ones that we got in today. But anybody, if you want to send in, let us know, and we can get that word out for you too. But right now, it's all go to social media. A lot of stuff going on today for these
kids. If you follow high school sports and then or college sports, a ton of athletes making their commitment announcements today. So we wanted to make sure that everybody knew where these kids would be going on, because even if they don't play football, still a really cool big event for these high school athletes as they go on to play at the next level. So I wanted to make sure we did that. We have one more segment, and we're going to wrap up our show as we always do with our Prep Mania on deck, as Dennis and I will be talking about some events that are coming up around the area for sports. Doesn't have to necessarily be just football. It could be any of the other sports. So if you have something, drop it in the YouTube comments on ESPN Madison or Daily Dodge, and we will talk about it next here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
You're listening to Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, breaking down more from this week in area high school sports next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Wrapping up Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Summerow. We're also brought to you by Pizza Hut, and Pizza Hut delivers a win every time with their Big Dinner Box. Just $19.99. That's two medium, one topping pizzas, eight boneless wings, and five breadsticks. Feed the whole team for one unbeatable price. Head to one of their locations or online at pizzahut.com today. Feed good times. Only at Pizza Hut, the official pizza of Prep Mania. Dennis, the same way that Pizza Hut delivers a win every time, we had some area teams that delivered some big wins with some state championships.
Yeah, shout-outs go to the Madison West Boys Soccer for Division I State Championship, Sauk Prairie Girls Volleyball Division II, the Middleton Boys Volleyball Division I 39-0. Also, In cross country, Mount Horeb Barneveld won the Mount Horeb rather won the Division II. Willa Vigliotta was the number one runner in Division II, and St. Ambrose in Division III for the boys. Academy,
wow.
Small school with Jonathan Simon leading the way, number one runner. They won the Division III boys cross country title. Wow, I mean that you look at it, and DeForest was a runner up in Division II soccer. I throw that out because I covered their sectional semifinal match, and shout out to the Norskis for that one. Coach was great. So,
and then now we have our Prep Mania on Deck segment. We wrap up the show the same way we do every single week with our Prep Mania on Deck, as we've got some other state championships also happening this weekend. I'm going to kick it off. I've got to pick it. I was a former swimmer. We've got the girls' state championship for swimming with divisions 1 and 2 coming up here this weekend. We will have division 2 on Friday. That'll start in the late evening or late afternoon, early evening, and then on Saturday morning will be division 1. The Middleton girls looking to defend their championship from Division 1 as a team. Last year we have some area teams getting some relays in with Sun Prairie West and Sun Prairie East, having some relays, Madison West, but Middleton, the big team to beat on the girls' side for the team side of things for that. So that's this weekend, my on-deck event. Dennis, what do you have for on-deck?
Well, I think it's got to be football related, so that's the only other one that's going on.
Yep.
yeah, and I was just trying to decide... I want to go Edgar. That's my team to watch this week, just because, as we said, that was Division 7. Now it's Division 6. Pretty much they're going to be up in Division 5. So I'm going to follow a team that only has given up 33 points in 12 games. Think about that.
Can you pick an area team as well, since this is Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania on deck?
Deck. So the area is Columbus. I'm going with the Columbus Cardinals. We talked about them before, and under Coach Ryan. I think they got a chance to make 2 gold balls in 3 years.
And, you know, there's a chance if they do make it, you'll be able to hear that game on the ESPN Wisconsin app as well as on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. We can't stream the video of the state championship games, but we will have the audio of those broadcasts on our YouTube channel.
Daily Dodge have that game?
Daily Dodge would also have that game.
On this week, the Columbus.
Oh, yes. I would almost guarantee that they have that game. I don't know for certain. I didn't check on that, but I would guess the Daily Dodge will have that game on YouTube, so you'll be able to watch their level 4. Yeah, we don't cheer for teams for the games we're calling. You and I aren't calling that game. Go Cardinals. Hopefully we get them at state, and you'll be able to hear all 7 of those championship games on the 20th and 21st on the ESPN Wisconsin app. We'll have all 7 games covered. We'll have you throughout both days, so you'll want to tune in for that. That does it for Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Summerow. Thank you to our producer, Owen Dimple. This has been Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.